The entire Open on the Derby. I still have more thoughts on that, but I'm joined right now by somebody else to help break this whole thing down. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He is an NBC Sports essayist. He is a friend of the program. He is back. Tim Layden is my guest. Tim, thank you so much. How are you?
I'm a little worn out, but good, Jim.
I would imagine, Tim, what a weekend that was. I mean, there was so much for you and I to talk about. It's almost hard to decide where to begin. But if we go back to Saturday, what were you thinking, Tim, when you saw Maximum Security, a former $16,000 claimer, hit the finish line first?
He was kind of a wise guy horse all week, Jim. A lot of people, smart people, watched him train and said, you know, it's not the miracle that he's here as a 16 claimer. It's a miracle that he ever ran as a 16 claimer. Horse has got great action, looks super good. There were a lot of smart people that thought he was the horse to beat in the race, so that part wasn't shocking.
All right, so when did you first know that something was up?
Not till I watched the race in the paddock with Baffert, because he had three horses in. I figured there was maybe a 25% chance he'd win it, so it's a good place to be. We were leaving the paddock to go out and interview the connections of Maximum Security to see if he won the race, and we heard Travis Stone, the public address announcer, say that there's been an objection and the race is unofficial. That's maybe 2 minutes after they crossed the line. So, you know, right then we knew something was up. And you know, watching the race in real time, you knew that something rough happened, but something rough always happens in the Derby. Couldn't see how bad it was till you saw the head-on, which was probably 4 or 5 minutes later for me.
Tim Layden is joining us. You know, Tim, we had an inquiry ourselves when Shared Belief won the Pacific Classic, so I know how nerve-wracking that can be. Everybody watching at home had a sense of what it was like to be at that track during this one Saturday, but what's it like to be there in real time and see that thing play out? What were those 22 minutes like?
I mean, it's like nothing else that you can cover, because if you're covering a bad call or a controversy in some other sport, you're sitting in a press room or a press box waiting for an announcement, and the principal players are somewhere else. In this case, I got out to the track, and I was standing next to Bill Mott, and I was standing next to Jason Service and Luis Saez and Flavian Prat, and you're right in the middle of it. You're part of the story, and you're standing in mud up to your ankles, and the rain is falling, and the time is going by, and every minute seems like an hour at that point, because, you know, you've been at the track. Usually these things come down in, a you know, 3-4 minutes, and 22 minutes was a long, long time. And as it went by, like Jason Service said to me, when it gets this long, you've got an idea that it's going to go against the horse that's being claimed foul against. But it was wild. And as a journalist, at the same time, the clock is ticking. You're thinking, now I got to get back to my laptop and write a story that's a whole lot more complicated than one I thought I was going to be writing.
No, it certainly was that, too. Tim Layden is joining us. Tim, is there any doubt in your mind that the stewards made the right call?
Not in my mind. And respect to the people who disagree, and there was a lot of money bet on that horse, and I put up a quote from Baffert this morning where he said the Derby is always a rough race and you can't do this. For me, you know, the aha moment for me came when I got out on the track and I'm not sure what's going on, and then the replays are up on the big board, and anybody who's been at the track knows that they put up all the angles. And the first time they showed the head-on shot where you're looking up from the finish line to the turn, as the horse is straightened out, you could see Maximum Security come over. I wrote 3 paths in maybe 10 or 12 feet, but it could have been more than that. And if you're looking straight up the stretch, it looks like he goes straight sideways toward the grandstand. And, you know, to me, with enough time spent at the racetrack, I agree with the people that said if that was the third at Los Al on a Wednesday, that horse would have come down before they got back to the finish line.
We're talking to Tim Layden. That's my take. Tim, I think that if that's a foul on Wednesday at Los Al, or that's a foul Wednesday at Kentucky, then that's a foul on the first Saturday in May. You don't swallow your whistle there. Let me ask you this. Why do you think, we know that the two jockeys initiated the inquiry, why do you think the stewards did not do so themselves?
Well, that's a great question, Jim, and it's a question that all of us had Saturday night in the press area at Churchill when we were told that the stewards would give us a statement, but they would not take questions. And the question I would have wanted, I mean, there's a couple questions I would have wanted to ask them. Number one is, were you getting ready to hit that inquiry light before the jocks claimed foul? And if not, why the heck not? Because it looked like, I mean, from their viewpoint up above the track, they had to see that something wild happened on that turn. And the second question would have been, to what extent were you thinking about safety and what might have happened behind that collision if more of Will and Tyler Gaffalione, the jockey, hadn't kept that horse on his feet with everything that's happened in horse racing this year because, I mean, it might have just been a fall with a sore shoulder and a sprained ankle, or people could have died and horses could have died, and that's no exaggeration.
No, Tim, that is no exaggeration. And then I can't even imagine where that would leave the sport should that have happened. You know, you mentioned him. I'm curious, like the one got the worst of that, but he did not file an objection. Why do you think that is?
I haven't talked to Tyler yet. Nobody has that I know of, or not at length. We talked to Mark Cassie, who trains War of Will. And his take on it was that by the time Gaffalione got off the track, he was pretty shook at what had happened. And Cassie also gave this weird explanation that he thought, you know, it's not – I think the bottom line is they thought in those minutes – because, as you know, a jock has to claim immediately.
Right.
In fact, the claim of foul in this race, the first claim was lodged by John Court, who told the outrider that he was going to claim foul as they were galloping out all around the turn. And I think that what Cassie, the trainer of War of Will, the one horse, and Gaffalione, the jockey on the one, both thought was that the stewards would put up the inquiry light immediately. They didn't think they would have to claim foul. As it turns out, somebody had to, or there would have been no investigation at all.
Hey, Tim, I was going to say, what if? All right, so what if everybody thought, I'm not going to claim foul, they're just going to put it up, and then they don't put it up? What kind of conversation are we having right now?
I've had a couple trainers say to me that, you know, if they didn't take that horse down, nobody's talking about this race. I disagree super strongly with that. I mean, I think maybe initially that's the way people would have reacted, again, because that horse was, you know, at 9-2, he was a second choice, so millions and millions of dollars bet more on him than Country House. So maybe that would have been the initial thing. But once that head-on shot gets out and people started seeing replays of War of Will's front feet in between the legs of Maximum Security, I mean, I think there would have been blowback, you know, later that night or the next day. I mean, that would not have gone... It would not have been ignored. There's just no way. And it's just astounding to me that the stewards didn't put up an inquiry light. And in fact, Jim, we were told yesterday, Bill Mott, who's a trainer of Country House who won the race, he had to tell his jockey, Flavian Pratt, to get on the phone with the stewards because his other jockey on his other horse said something really nasty happened out there. I think that horse has got to come down. So it was really a whole bunch of really serendipitous things fell into place to even change the result of the race.
God, it is so wild and so complicated. We've got Tim Layden for a few more moments. You mentioned Bill Mott. You know, Tim, it's not obviously a way you want to lose the Derby, and I'd even argue that it's kind of a strange way to win the Derby. And I've been very transparent about this, Tim. I know all the connections. When I say that, I do business with the connections, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that so they don't think that my opinion is colored. But the owners of this horse, we are partners with on other horses, and Alex Solis runs that group. So you talk to Bill Mott. How does he feel about this? Like, he finally won his Derby, he's a Hall of Famer, but how does he feel about that win?
He said yesterday was, I feel bad for myself, for Flavian Pratt, for the owners, that I have to apologize for winning the Kentucky Derby, but he said, I'm not sorry for winning it, because I feel like the call was right and the right thing was done by the stewards. But it's just a really weird way to win the Kentucky Derby. And something I wrote and Bill said also is, people are going to be talking about this now for long after we're all gone, and not necessarily for all the right reasons, but that doesn't change the fact that the right thing was done. And that was Mott's stance, and he said it on the track before they announced the decision. Same thing you and I were just saying. If that's the eighth race at Aqueduct in January, that horse is down. And he feels that a standard has to be applied to the Kentucky Derby as well, even though Baffert and some others have said to me that, no, it can't be in the Derby. It's a different kind of race, and you got to let it go.
All right, so that's Mott's reaction. What about Gary West, the owner of Max Security? He's saying already, I'm not going to run in the Preakness. He wants to file the appeal. He's making noise about not ever running again, period, and getting out of the game. What do you make of his reaction?
When we first talked to Gary after the race, he was pretty much saying this is the way the game goes. He's been in it a long time. I think people got in his ear and started telling him that he should do something. And also, he asked the stewards at Churchill to see the replay and hear their analysis, and they declined to meet with him until Thursday, which is when they go back to work at Churchill, which I feel bad about, because I think that if the stewards just sat him down and said, here's what we saw, here's why we did this. We're sorry. You're good for the game, but this is the right decision. I think he might have walked away at that point. And he's going to wind up walking away eventually, Jim. I mean, the last time someone did this was in 1968 when Dancer's Image got DQ'd for a drug violation, and his owners fought it for 5 years and then ran out of money and walked away. You're not going to beat the house on this one. He can afford good lawyers, but the language is pretty clear, and the foul is clear. So, I mean, I feel bad that it's going to go on. I don't think Gary West is going to get out of the game. And I hope he doesn't. He's good for the game. And it's unfortunate. But he's going to lose this one.
Tim, I know how that goes, because when Share Belief got slammed into coming out of the gate, you're in shock when it happens in real time, and you try to process it, and then as time goes on, you're right. People do get in your ear. People get in your head. People are telling me, why are you saying nothing? Why are you doing nothing? Why don't you do something about this? So I can see how that goes. A final thought, you know, it's quick for those who don't really know. Tim, they rush in and they say, oh, there you go, another black eye for the sport. Now, Todd Pletcher spoke to you. He's got a vested interest in the sport, but he thinks this actually might be a positive for the game. What did he say to you, and do you believe that?
Essentially, he said it was the biggest stage and an incredibly tough decision for those stewards to make, and that's why it took so long, and that's why they seemed like they were incredibly nervous when they talked to us. But what Pletcher said is, on the biggest stage in sports, unlike some other sports, we got it right. And the obvious comparison is the Saints-Rams game, where they didn't get it right and had no recourse to correct it. In this case, and they've been using replay in racing, as you know, Jim, for decades. It's not a new thing. And Pletcher's view was, this is painful, this hurts, nobody wanted to see this, very tough on the stewards, but under incredible pressure in what is by far the biggest horse race in the United States, we got it right in the end. And also, Jim, again, the safety thing cannot be overstated, because if we're talking about dead horses and seriously injured humans today, that's a much blacker eye than whatever people might be saying right now.
Tim, I'm not sure. I mean, let's be really honest about this. Had that happened like that, I'm not sure what's left of that sport in this country. If something like that happens on that big of a stage, then I don't know where that leaves you or us or any of us. You have to maintain the safety and care in that case. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and NBC Sports essayist, a friend of the program. Tim, you've done it a long time. I know you've had some crazy weekends. That one's got to be right near the top. So I really appreciate you coming on this morning.
Yeah, great, Tim. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Tim Layden. All right, so we spent the first half hour on the Kentucky Derby. I never thought that I would say that. The first half hour of the program on the Derby itself, I've laid a lot of that out, and you got his thoughts. Now you tell me, especially those of you who only watch horse racing one day out of the year. When you saw that, what did you think? How'd that go for you? 1-800-636-8686. We are open until hour number 3, unless we add somebody.